In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's hard to preach a sermon on Palm Sunday because there is so much packed into the readings. So this sermon will be short. I would say glory be to God on high, but that is forbidden during Holy Week. A good commentary on the crucifixion of our Lord is found in today's epistle reading, where Paul writes, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." And then Paul goes on to describe what this mind in Christ Jesus was. He said, "Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, a thing to be held onto jealously. But he emptied himself. He emptied himself by laying aside the full exercise of his divine powers. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, or more accurately, a slave. God became a slave in Jesus Christ. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." You've heard of the state of humiliation. This in which our Lord again did not make full use of his divine powers as God in the flesh. So, becoming man, he humbled himself and again did not use his divine powers to the full. He says elsewhere in the Gospels that he could summon a legion of angels and they would come to his aid and defense. But if he had done that, there would have been no help for us. We would have been lost in our sins. We would be sentenced to eternal death. Death on a cross was reserved for the worst kind of criminal. It was reserved for runaway slaves. But Jesus did not run away. Instead, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done, O Father." Jesus was willing to embrace the cross and all the sufferings that preceded the cross and all the sufferings that followed his crucifixion out of obedience to his Father and out of love for you and for me, poor, lost, miserable, condemned sinners. He embraced the death on a cross because that was his divine calling. That was the reason God sent him in the flesh. How would you like to stand before a crowd and be accused of all kinds of things that you had never done? All kinds of crimes against the government, blasphemy against the authorities that be. Accused of trying to subvert the nation. I don't think you would particularly enjoy that. I know I wouldn't. But Jesus endured that. He endured it for you. How would you like to be brought to trial before the chief head of the Roman government? And if he found you worthy of death, you would be handed over to be crucified. Well, Pilate found in Jesus nothing worthy of death, but since the crowd was urgent and they were saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea from Galilee, even to this place." And the thing Pilate feared chiefly was an insurrection, a rebellion, a revolution against Roman authority. So he sent Jesus off to Herod. Now, Herod had long wanted to see Jesus. He was hoping to see some sort of miracle done. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus remained silent. But the chief priests and the scribes did not remain silent. They stood by watching the proceedings. They accused him. They accused him harshly. So Herod and his soldiers treated Jesus with contempt and they mocked him. Do you like to be treated with contempt? Do you like to be mocked by all kinds of people? Maybe you were that unpopular kid in high school that everyone made fun of, but the chief priest and the scribes weren't making fun of Jesus. They were out for his blood. Herod sent him back to Pontius Pilate, but first he arrayed him in splendid clothing as if he were a king. What is Pontius Pilate going to do? He had tried to get rid of Jesus. So he called together again the chief priest and the rulers of the people, and he said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is misleading the people. I've examined him, and I don't find this man guilty of any of the charges against him. Neither did Herod. He sent him back to me. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish him and release him." I don't know if you know what a Roman punishment was, what a scourging was. 39 lashes, not with a belt, but with a flagellum. It was like a cat of nine tails, and in each of the strands of the whip were tied bits of bone, pieces, jagged pieces of metal, broken pottery. And this was applied to Jesus' back, to his legs, to his body, 39 times. He would have looked like hamburger. Many people died when undergoing a Roman scourging, but Jesus didn't. How would you have liked to endure that? If you or I had just received one lash with such an instrument of torture, we would cry out in pain and in agony. But Jesus endured 39. Pilate wanted to get rid of Jesus so that he wouldn't have to deal with him anymore. He said, "I'll release to you Barabbas," or "I'll release to you Christ," and Barabbas, who was a murderer, a terrorist, an insurgent, "I'll let him be crucified in Jesus' place." Barabbas, ironically enough, means son of the Father. And he ended up being released, the son of the Father, for the sake of him who is son of God by nature. So he who is son of the Father by nature could suffer and die on the cross for your sins. "So I'll release to you Barabbas," but the crowd kept shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." It went on as an incredible tumult. It wasn't just that they said this one time and then pulled out their phones and started texting their family and friends. This was a clamor, an ongoing clamor. And again, Pilate said, "What evil has he done? I don't find any guilt in him. I'll punish and release him." But the crowd was urgent. They demanded with loud voices that Jesus be crucified. We're told in another gospel that if you let him go, Pilate, you are no friend of the emperor. They were applying the greatest kind of pressure against Pilate to do to Jesus what they wanted. Their voices prevailed, so Pilate handed Jesus over to the crowd of soldiers. And Barabbas, who was in prison for insurrection and murder, was let go. And he delivered Jesus over to the will of the scribes and the Pharisees and the people who had turned against him. They led him away. So weakened was he by his torture that they enlisted a man named Simon to carry the cross behind Jesus. It's interesting that Jesus says elsewhere, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Follow in my bloody footsteps, which is what Simon was doing. Jesus had a few sympathizers. Among the people of Jerusalem, the women of Jerusalem mourning and lamenting for him, but even they could not stop the crucifixion. There were two others who were criminals who were led away with Jesus, and they came to the place called the Skull, Golgotha, or Calvary. And there they crucified him. One criminal on the right, one criminal on the left. We're told they nailed him to the cross. Well, these nails weren't, you know, this thing. Think of them more as railroad spikes. Jagged, rusty. They nailed Jesus to the cross. And Jesus did not curse his crucifiers. He did not curse his accusers. He did not curse these God murderers. Instead, he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing." He prayed for them, just as he prays for you and me. He was dying for their forgiveness, just as he died for your forgiveness and my forgiveness. And the people stood by watching. He said, "Forgive us?" But the priest and the scribe scoffed at him. "Hey, he saved others. He healed others. Let him save himself if he is really the Christ of God, if he is really God's chosen one." And the soldiers joined in the mockery. There's Jesus on the cross, surrounded by his enemies, surrounded by those who wanted him dead. And I don't think you would like that if it happened to you, and I know I wouldn't like that. The soldier said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." Now let's go back to the criminals. One criminal hanging there at Jesus' side railed at him, abused him verbally, and echoed the crowd, "Are you not the Christ? Well, then save yourself and us." He cried out in his pain. He cried out in his unbelief. But the other criminal, who was crucified just as Jesus was, rebuked this first criminal and said, "Do you not fear God? You're under the same sentence of condemnation. We deserve what we are getting, but this man has done nothing wrong." And then what a wonderful thing he said. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me." And Jesus made wonderful words of promise to him. "Truly I say to you, this day you will be with me in paradise. The death of your body is not the end of you. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Darkness came over the land about noon, and there was darkness over the land until about 3 o'clock. As Jesus was bearing the sins of the world, as his Father turned his face from him, because he became sin for you, so that in him you might become the righteousness of God. There is a divine exchange going on here. He takes the curse that you and I and the entirety of the human race deserve, and he pours out upon us his holiness, his righteousness, so that we are justified in God's sight. The sun's light failed. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Into your hands, Father. I have done the work you have sent me to do. I have performed the greatest sacrifice of all. I have died for the sins of the world. In my death, the people's sins are forgiven. In Christ's death, your sins are forgiven. His work was done. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And when you reach the end of your earthly life, you who trust in Christ, you can say the same thing because of Jesus, because you follow in his way. And he breathed his last, and the centurion, as we know, praised God, saying, "Surely this man was the Son of God. Surely he was an innocent man." And all the people, when they saw the manner in which Jesus died, they returned to their homes. They beat their breast in lamentation of what they had seen. They regretted what they had clamored for. They remembered that Jesus had prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Just as Jesus is your high priest interceding for you in heaven. And so Jesus was buried. The Jesus who humbled himself, who emptied himself, who laid aside the full use of his divine powers so he could be crucified. The Jesus who died the death of a slave, the most horrible death of all. And he did it for you. So as often as you eat the bread, which is his body, and as often as you partake of the cup of his blood, do it in remembrance of Jesus, your Savior, the one who endured all these things for you, so that each and every day of your life, and on the last day of your life, you can say with confidence, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we confess our faith using the Nicene Creed.